Hello, this is Andrew Middleton from Sheffield Hallam University, and welcome to Podcasting for LTA. This is the last of three episodes that were recorded at the Sheffield Hallam University LTA conference. In this episode, I feature three conversations. The first is with Bob Steele, the second is with Graham Holden, and the third is with Anne Norcliffe. One of the last sessions I attended in the day was presented by Bob Steele from ACES. He was talking about a project with which he and I had both been involved, where his undergraduate students from the BSc in Visualisation worked with academics that I had identified from across the university to develop games to support their teaching and learning. The general idea of the project had been to develop awareness and experience in the design and application of games to support learning. And his students worked with academics in the areas of criminology, biomechanics, teaching teachers, estate management, and there were also two projects that were looking at developing shells that could be reused across various subjects. So both Bob and I have been very pleased with the way the project had run, so I was very interested to hear him report on the project from his perspective. One of the interesting things for me to pick up on in his session was the way that he mapped the experience of playing games to the experience of learning. And this really helped me to make sense of what it was we've been involved in and what I continue to be involved in personally in looking at the appropriateness of games to education. He characterised great gameplay by describing the player when they are undertaking the activity, they believe they can complete it, and they're able to focus their concentration completely on the activity in hand, and experience a sense of effortless involvement, and they feel as though they are in control of the activity. So that's gameplay, and he was saying that if we can map that to learning, then surely games must be a really interesting way of exploring education. However, he did note that getting the balance right between creating something that was boring and between creating something that was too anxious was a fairly tall order. So I think that was one of the things that he had said to his students as they went into this project in developing the games. So an interesting session from Bob in all sorts of ways, and it was nice for me to have that one at the end of the day, given my own interest in it. After the session, I got together with Bob and two of the delegates who had expressed an interest in joining in a similar project if we ran one next year. This is the conversation that we had. One of the interesting things about the project that you've just been talking about, developing games for learning, is the interprofessional collaboration.
Yes, yes, that's
so
right.
Yeah. You've been telling us about the developing games for learning project that you and I were involved with. And we've got two people, John and Claire, who have just heard about that and shown some interest in it as well. So what was your thinking, Claire, about that?
Just a really exciting opportunity. And I think there's so much kind of brilliant practice happening within the university that we're quite isolated. You kind of focusing on what you're doing, but kind of not kind of making the connections or hearing the resonances. And what's lovely is that your ideas that you have in your head, you come to a place and suddenly you hear about things are already happening that you can feed into beautifully, and people are speaking the same language.
Yeah.
So suddenly your ideas aren't kind of quite off the wall, but you think, wow, no, other people are thinking the same way, and that's so inspiring.
So I think that is one of the big things about collaboration and interprofessional learning.
Completely.
And that's what this project has been about quite a lot, Bob, hasn't it? It's difficult to manage matching up one set of students in a faculty with your students and one academic with yourself. It's managing that is quite a problem, isn't it?
Well, that's why I think that this wouldn't really work without the involvement of the LTI. And the LTI as, if you like, facilitators.
That was a bit of a leading question, really.
Yeah, I know it was.
I didn't intend it to be. But actually, so, you know, I've heard several times today, and this podcast will show it, but there is a lot of enthusiasm about collaboration. But
And if the LTI is about anything, that should be part of what it's about.
Exactly.
At least in this instance. That's what worked, because I wouldn't have known about four of those projects without you having got those people on board. It was you they came to, wasn't it? So they must have... They must have had an interest in something that you were able to sort of point me at.
Yeah,
is that right?
I'm trying to... Yeah, no, I suppose that's the role in the LTI, that we do try to make those connections.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
John, you've just seen what Bob's had to show us, and you've noted that you've got an interest there. How would you imagine being involved in something similar next year?
I think collaborations, as you say, are very, very important within the university. Mm. And I think... I'm a microbiologist, and I've been involved with developing games with students through students designing them, but not in electronic form.
Right.
And I can see that we can push the ideas and the things that I've done before with students through this route, and I think it would be very appealing to them. Because it's something that they're very familiar with, gaming these days.
All
are. And I think collaboration not only within the university for these projects is very beneficial, but I think collaboration, other people from outside, commercial people would be very interested in this as it's fully developed. And I think I can see there's collaborations there that can go on, which could be very beneficial to the university, perhaps financially in the long run, if it's very successful.
And that's one of the things that you have. You've got various links with commercial operations.
Yeah, lots of companies and so on. Mm-hmm. In fact, we had a group of students last year, not from this particular course, the postgrad course I run, who won a regional competition to get into the national final. It's a competition called Dare to be Digital. And they got 10 weeks over the summer to work on a product. And the product was, in fact, for the education market. And the idea was that would become a commercial project at the end, and that the company would take that on. There's an issue of market and so on, and the economics of the games industry, and what sort of companies are interested in what would really be a smaller market. But it's a market which I think can be developed, and the problem is that there's just not a big enough market there yet. So in a way, the market has to be created, and the way to get created is by generating the ideas. And it's early days, definitely, and that's why I put those references up at the end about serious games people and.
It was really impressive for you the way you actually mapped the player experience of games against the learner experience of games. Mm. Anyway, thanks for your input there, and maybe we'll see these ideas pursued next year.
Hope so.
There were two major initiatives rolled out at the conference this year. One, of course, was this very podcast. And not far behind in terms of importance was the Assessment for Learning initiative. Well, perhaps it was the other way around. I've already spoken to Chris Glover about how that launch went. And fittingly, towards the end of the day, I bumped into Graham Holden, who is leading that initiative. And this is the conversation we had.
Hi, Graham.
Hello, Andrew.
I'm doing this podcast, which I'm going to be releasing tonight. So I thought it'd be really good to pick up on you towards the end of the day, because you did a really good session earlier on assessment for learning. I had a brief chat with Chris Glover.
Yes.
But it was good this morning, wasn't it?
It was. We got a very positive reception, I thought, which was... I was a bit nervous, I must admit, when we started. I wasn't sure. And the good thing today we've had is... a lot of people coming along and saying, yes, we're really interested, or we're doing this, come along and talk to us. So we've already got quite a good groundswell of people saying, come and talk to us, or here's an example of good practice. So really pleased, very, very positive.
Yeah, I got the impression that if you'd done that feedback bit at the end for about five times as long, you would have still been sitting there and getting good ideas back.
I think we could have spent the whole of that morning session just doing that.
So in terms of that main theme today about basically sharing... ideas, sharing practice, you know, that's the way I've seen a lot of today. There's a lot more we could be doing in terms you know, with assessment.
I think so, and I think that's the key starting point for us. There's so many urban myths around assessment that have been in the university, whether it be about regulations or any other aspect of assessment. And some people have gone around with a strapline that assessment's broken, and I think that's wrong, but I don't think assessment is broken. I think possibly we've lost our direction a bit. And I think now's the time to start saying, look at all the good things that we do, and then let's build on that, which is what you would always do when you're assessing the student anyway. You always start on what's good rather than what's negative. So maybe we're trying to follow what we feel we might do in practice.
I noticed that you mentioned that there's a lot more potential that people could be exploiting for student self-assessment and peer assessment.
It's really interesting that we decided to pull that thread through today, and then we're running out of time, but all three contributors in that theatre all mentioned that as a way of not just saving time, because I think if people start saying, how can I reduce the workload, then we've lost the argument, because it's not about workload. It's about enhancing the experience and making sure we don't overload either the students or the staff. But I don't think efficiency should be the driver. And they were all coming at it not from the fact that it saved them time, but the fact that it gave a different dimension to the experience.
Yeah, that is going to be the tension,
really,
though, isn't
positive.
It?
I think it is.
People talk about the assessment burden, and so that efficiency thing is always going to be the thing that gets people into the room to start talking about it.
It might well be.
Yeah.
I have a different view of that. Maybe that's my ACES background coming in, so I don't know, where we're already locked into many debates. But it can't be the only driver if we're going to get it right, I think.
Well, anyway, it's a great start, and good luck with the initiative.
Thanks very much.
Cheers, Graham.
It's probably fitting that I include a brief conversation when finally, at the end of a very busy day, I caught up with Anne Norcliffe, who I had worked with in presenting a session, one of the first sessions during the day, on the topic of audio notes, which is an idea that Anne has been working with over the last 6 months. What Anne does in her lectures is she captures chunks of the information that she transfers, and also some of the conversations that she has during the lectures with the students. And these chunks of audio, or these notes from the lecture, are posted into the Blackboard content system, which she has been piloting this year, and from there into her Blackboard course. She has had two sets of students, those students who have been present in the lectures where she's done the recording, and a set of students who have used the audio notes before they've attended a lecture with a similar focus. And that for me was particularly interesting, the idea of students, if you like, doing pre-vision rather than revision of a topic, so that they come to a lecture prepared to engage in a deeper level of discussion. So that was generally the focus that the session that Anne Norcliffe and myself presented on audio notes at the beginning of the day. And as I say, I finally caught up with Anne as I was about to pack in, and it should be noted that the MP3 recorder, ironically, was also due to pack in at this stage of the day too, so apologies for any loss of quality in the sound.
How did the session go this morning?
I think what was interesting is the academics struggling to understand what may be the effect it has on LITs and us providing audio MP3s, and the impact it could have on student services support, or the technology support issues, and that we need to address that, and maybe need for a communication with the academics.
That was right. So in the session we had people role-playing educational support, academics and
students.
But yeah, so that group who were doing the educational support really was struggling to take a perspective, which for me was very interesting, because I see those sort of issues by nature, you know, others were struggling.
They were really struggling to put themselves, and I think it's interesting that there is more, there needs to be more vocal discussion between academics and student services.
Well, one of the themes, just to round off this bit here, one of the themes today that I've noticed is the idea of sharing practice, collaboration, and I think our session was quite a useful example of sharing between the disciplines and the expertises, but it was happening. It was happening in that room, and I think we generally need to do
more of it. Yes.
So before I butted into your conversation,
okay. Peter.
Yes.
Who I haven't met before, so nice to meet you. I'm Andrew Middleton from the LTI. Is there anything of particular value, any big idea that you've got out of today's conference?
Well, it's the networking, because I do a distance learning course, and I do the same course face-to-face, and I'm thinking of recording my lectures. And I should have come to Anne and your session to find out how you've done it. But
I think we'd agree that we haven't actually, or you haven't got the perfect answer yet, which is one of the conclusions that came out of the session. I think we were looking for people to identify the weaknesses, identify the strengths, and that would allow us to work on the weaknesses and reduce their impact.
Well, I'm presenting my course at the end of June, in July and August, and would quite like to try recording the sessions. And then see how that works out. Okay.
Thanks,
Andrew.
Well, that concludes our conversations from the LTA conference for 2006. The next podcast will feature a discussion with Susanna Diamond from the LTI, Colm McCauley from DNS, and myself, as we discuss the possibilities for using SMS text messaging to enhance teaching and learning. If you would like more information about podcasting for LTA, please email me at the show's email address, which is lta-podcast@shu.ac.uk.